The Riverwalk Theater brings a modern and brainy twist on those classic fairy tales about princesses, witches, and dragons this Friday. The show is called The Princess Who Saved Herself, and current stage Jamie Paisley joins me now after attending the first rehearsal at the Riverwalk. Jamie, I understand the story was inspired by a rock song.
Well, yeah, Mark. I mean, the creator of the musical, Edric Hallin, he expanded the story from a very kind of short rock song, or as Edric tells me, a geek rock song by the nerdcore songsmith Jonathan Colton. Now, what do those nerd and geek terms mean?
Nerdcore or geek rock is probably something that was pioneered by Jonathan Colton back when he quit his job as a computer programmer and said, I'd like to try writing music. And he devoted a year of his life to turning out a song a week. He called it Thing a Week. And he pretty much stayed on schedule. And one of the first songs that caught people's notice was a song called Code Monkey. And he also did a soft rock remix of Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back, which got a lot of internet notice and eventually got stolen by Glee. Eventually, I became aware of it when I was doing a search for the Mandelbrot set, and turns out that he had a song called Mandelbrot Set, and it popped up, and I played it, and it's like, oh, that's interesting. And then I was sharing that around with some of my geek friends from the MSU days, and one of them, a guy named Rob, who lives out in Chicago, said, I actually knew about this Jonathan Colton guy because he has this song called Code Monkey, and in it there's a boring manager, Rob, and my colleagues all brought this song to my attention, so I went and sought out Code Monkey, and then I was kind of hooked, and then I started going through more of his discography and becoming more and more acquainted as I went along.
Which lends itself then to finding the princess who saved herself, which runs about 220, 230 in length. But how long is the stage version that you've written?
It'll be a little over an hour. It won't go over 75 minutes, even with the intermission.
I'm assuming it's not 25 times of the same song over and over. How do you expand that with the different verses that are in the original song?
Well, you start with the original song and flesh out the universe. We actually don't hear the entire song until the finale. The finale is the Jonathan Colton song performed on stage by the band that calls themselves the Kingdom of the Princess Who Saved Herself. At the beginning, we hear the first verse played by the troubadour to set the stage, and we meet the princess, who I decided to name Zoe. If you want to know what Jonathan Colton and Greg Pak named her, then go to the graphic novel that they did on Kickstarter and see the multisyllabic name that they chose for the princess themselves. But I just call her Zoe.
Everybody knew the story of the princess who saved herself.
When I presented myself to the Riverwalk Play Selection Committee back in November or January, whenever it was, the first question was, okay, this girl is supposed to be 7. She's supposed to be multiracial. She's supposed to be comfortable carrying a snake. She's supposed to be able to sing. She's supposed to be able to act. She's supposed to be able to play the electric guitar. Where are you going to find this girl? And it was absolutely the right question to ask right at the outset, and I responded in two parts. First, I said, I only need one. And then I proceeded to explain how I was going to send emails to the music teachers in the various school districts and the community music school and the other institutions out here that have interactions with young kids. And Isabella showed up to auditions, and the only thing that I had to compromise on was instead of 7, she's 12.
I'm Isabella. I'm in 8th grade, and I go to Chippewa Junior High. Well, my voice teacher is Kelly Stubel. Shout out to you. She came up to me one day, and she was like, there's this cool audition that you should go to, and they're looking for a girl that looks just like you, and I think you'd be good for the role. And I was debating whether to go to the audition or not, because I had school and I had to do homework and stuff. And then I decided to go, and now I'm here, and I'm really glad I made that decision.
What was on the list of, when they were looking for Zoe, what was on that list of things you had to do?
Well, they wanted her to be of like a more minority race, and I'm Latina, and then they wanted her to be like, they wanted her to be around the ages of 8 and 7, but then 12, 13 would be fine too. They wanted someone that really had a high range, like a diverse range. So his songs are very rangy, I guess you could say.
And there's also the ability to play a red something. What is that something?
A red guitar.
So you play guitar?
I learned this summer how to play guitar.
Really? How long did that take?
It took a really long time. I've been working for like 4 months now, 5 months maybe. And it's one of the harder instruments that I've had to play because I play the piano. I played it for 3 years. But the guitar, you actually have to go through physical pain, like with your fingers, like burning when you play, when you press down on the strings really hard. But it's a fun instrument once you get used to it.
What parts of Zoe do you see in yourself?
She's very bold, and she's very unique, and she doesn't care about what anyone thinks about her, and she breaks all kinds of stereotypes, and I see that in me too.
Writing the music and lyrics for Isabella Grace Olivo's Princess Zoe in the Riverwalk Theater's production of The Princess Who Saved Herself, opening this Friday, is Edric Haleen. Now, Edric, in terms of writing a musical based on another art form, I mean, for example, Sunday in the Park with George, that was based on the Pointillist painting by Georges Seurat, but Sondheim and Lapine didn't have to ask the Seurat estate whether they could write a musical, since the painting was public domain. And for The Princess Who Saved Herself, that's a bit different because the original songwriter, Jonathan Colton, he's still around. He owns the copyright. Does that provide like a bit of a challenge for you? Has Mr. Colton given his blessing on the show?
Absolutely. I didn't start writing until I communicated with him, and I've actually communicated with his assistant, Scarface. And if you're not a Jonathan Colton fan, then in the song Skull Crusher Mountain, you will learn about Scarface, and this is a real thing now. But yes, I said, you know, can I have permission to do this? And I've been in contact with him through the various, when the script was finished, I sent it to him for his perusal. When the songs were finished, I sent the lyrics so that he could see it. And I
demos as well?
I never sent demos. But I've kept him apprised all the way along, and I've also invited him to come see it. But when I invited him the first time, Scarface said, well, he's likely to be touring with Amy Mann on a Christmas tour at that time. And I don't think Amy Mann has a Christmas tour right now, but he's in New York, he's busy, he's on public radio. If he comes, great, but that's fine.
On the surface of it, this is being marketed for the most part towards a younger audience, but I'm assuming, since it is geek rock nerdcore, that there are multiple levels going on.
Yes, every good children's show, Disney films and children's theater and whatever, always plays on multiple levels so that the grown-ups who drive the kids to the movie theater or to the stage theater aren't bored out of their gourds. This one probably plays that in spades simply because the source material is Jonathan Colton. So yes, there will be things for the kids. Yes, there will be things for the grown-ups. Yes, there will also be things for all the Jonathan Colton fans and the nerds and the geeks who come out. All of the math, all of the science will be accurate, and there's a good chunk of it. I mean, 7 minutes into the show, we've finished the opening sequence. We finished the opening number, and we've already explored the mechanics of transverse waves. We've already explored the mathematics of the Mandelbrot set. We've already used our imagination for, you know, what life would be like if we were a giant. And it's very carefully written so that if you're not a huge math geek, you're not going to be lost. It's not crucial to your understanding or enjoyment of the show that you know amplitude and wavelength and frequency and the astronomical mechanics of a total solar eclipse and all of this stuff. It's enough that you understand that Zoe gets it.
Edric Haleen's The Princess Who Saved Herself, based on the song by Jonathan Colton, opens Friday night and runs through Sunday, December 4th at the Riverwalk Theater in downtown Lansing. More information at riverwalktheater.com. For Current State, I'm Jamie Paisley.
There was a castle by a waterfall with a pink and purple wall and a pretty